Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us today, and joining me, Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, Mylon.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I am doing great, and also Dr. John Townsend.
Hey, everybody. John. Good to be here.
It is really good to be here. We love doing this. We love getting to be with you. But, you know, today we're announcing a way to be with you in a totally different way. And we're really excited.
Should we play a drum roll?
We could. We could play that drum roll. But here, let me just try to tell everybody what happened. You might have seen this in the news, but the former head of NBC... Universal Television, Jeff Gaspin, is in partnership with John Klein, who is former head of CNN. And they're forming a network, a television network on the internet. They raised a lot of money with people like Google and others that are part of the investing in it. And we are the first channel that they're launching in their new network. And we've been working with them for the past 2 or 3 months on this project. And here's what it is. It is a subscription television channel. And we've been doing some programs. We've been practicing. And it is fantastic. You know, the thing that we love is that we get to take the time to teach and really cover stuff that we just don't have time to do on this show, because you know we're just answering questions. But we have done programs, and if you go, you can sign up at tv.newlife.com. But we've done programs on sexual integrity and on just the need for people to take a second look at the recovery that they're in, and what does it really mean? And I'll tell you, we've done some already amazing material. And so I want to encourage you to sign up and join us and just see. It's free for a month, so you know you don't have anything to risk. But one day we're talking Bible study. The next day it's relationships. Another day it's life recovery. Another day counseling. And another day it's you know, in the news. What is it in the news that we need to talk about? And all the talent that you see here on the radio are part of it. John and Mylon, we've done these programs. We've been working on this. What's your impression, or what would you say? What do you think about this or feel about this?
I feel like we're in the living room with people.
Yeah,
where
that's good.
We're sitting around here, not taking calls, but going into deeper buckets about content that, you know, a call is what, 6 minutes here or whatever? I don't know
right.
what it is. But we can go deeper into content areas about emotional growth, brokenness, character, and we get to interact with each other better. And so it's sort of like we're hanging out in your living room and being with you. Mylon?
I totally agree. Here's what impressed me, and I know you said the same thing, John. This is one serious professional outfit that's helping to put this whole thing together for us. This is not an amateur event. This is a serious TV production, and we're just delighted to be a part of it. These people really know what they're doing.
Nice to be around quality like
they,
that.
They said they discovered what we were doing, and they said, we're going to take this to the world because more people need to know about what we do and how we do it. And that was so affirming to
us.
Well,
and they know how to do stuff like that. They've done it before.
Oh, right. They have. So... anyway, I just want to say that's what the big announcement is all about, and I hope and pray that you'll become part of it. TV.newlife.com. First month's free. I think you're going to like what you see there. We'll be back and go to call. After
2 years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more. Then from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
You can reach Guild Travel at 1-800-223-3855, extension 240 or 260.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. That address is tv.newlife.com. Give it a try. Let's go to Roger. Kiowa, Kansas, I think it is. How do you say it, Roger? You tell me how you say the name of where you live.
Kiowa, Kansas.
Kiowa, Kansas. All right. Well, how's it going? What's going on in your life today, sir?
I discovered weekend before last in Denver that you guys sell yourself way short.
Well, that's a nice thing to say.
My wife and I went there. Shantae's my wife. We went, we sponsor several couples through the years to go to marriage workshops.
Uh-huh.
And this time we went.
Hmm.
And we said, you know, I mean, we've been sponsoring couples. We, I guess, try the medicine. And I want to tell you that it was we had an amazing weekend. It was literally life-altering. But the amazing part to me is that I really believe, for me personally, that the marriage benefit will be the benefit of our marriage will be a secondary benefit.
I love hearing that.
The two things that I learned an amazing thing about myself, and in a battle that I fought all of my life of anger and anger outbursts and the cussing and the swearing and all that nasty stuff that's so hard to take off when you go to church and you get in proper settings. And I realized, and my wife laughed out loud when I told her this, I said, I think this is fear motivated. And she looked at me like I was insane. Fear in you? And I said, yeah. I said, that's it. That rings the bell. That makes sense. And I want you to know that I've been down inside myself now for about a week and a half to grasp this. And it has been amazing. And the thing that I have been able to do, And everybody around me, my family members especially, have noticed, wow, there's something in that Denver water. That worked.
great to hear.
Benefit to the relationships with my kids in less than 2 weeks has been amazing, Steve. It's just been phenomenal.
Now, you've made my day.
The other thing that I want to share that really, really rang the bell for me personally, again, and I feel selfish. I'm not sharing about the great things that have happened in my marriage, and it has truly been dynamic. But the other thing that really rang a bell for me is to get into ministry, to do right what I'm doing right now, and letting people know that, as you guys say, there is help. The first step is that willingness. Get off the veranda and go search for help. And your 800 number is a great place to start.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, you said a lot of stuff, But I'll tell you what meant the most to me is for is you saying, get in ministry. Because, you know, everybody's called to ministry. And you're ministering certainly by sending other people. But I'm so glad you went. And I'm so glad that things are happening with your kids and all. And, man, that's just great. Thank you for sharing that with us. I hope that'll be an encouragement to a lot of other people to get on the phone right now and say,
we will continue to sponsor couples as we can afford to with our businesses. We are going to continue that ministry because we have found you to be a powerful tool to help people.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Roger. That is so much a blessing to us. We're glad it was a blessing to your family.
And on that ministry thing, well, I think you just started it right here when you were sharing with other people. And God bless you. And let's stay in touch.
We will. I'm in touch with your people almost daily, just as a slight email, just to let you know things are good and we appreciate it.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me send you the brand new version of Every Man's Bible in the NIV. I hope you like it. And our way of saying thanks to you. Well, that's an awfully nice way to start the program. Let's go to Wayne from, Wayne from Phoenix, Arizona. Hello, Wayne. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Wayne.
First of all, I wanted to thank you for all that you guys do. We want you back in Phoenix. We miss having you there.
We miss being there.
And I definitely love your collective impromptu humor.
Well, thank you.
On the show, I'm calling guys because actually I'm calling for advice, direction, and hope.
Well, and I think we can give you some of that. I hope so.
Yeah. And I'm a guy that believes in miracles. But here's kind of what happened. It's my wife and I we both have known the Lord for 35 plus years. You know, we just were 60, 61. We have no children. We've been married for 21 years. I've known my wife for 30 because we've dated about 6 years before we married. Anyway, I would say that we were happily married for all of those years. A year and a half ago, found a friend who became a mutual friend of ours that we were instrumental in bringing back to the Lord. And so he had known the Lord many years ago and fell away from the Lord. Well, we were instrumental in bringing him back. Well, during that friendship, what had happened was we fell on hard times. And so had helped us financially. And then one thing led to another that we were at his place in California for 3 months, 8.5 months ago. And so upon leaving that, my wife couldn't find work out there, and neither could I. I looked for work. I was previously a financial consultant whose profession disappeared whenever everything started being uploaded to the internet.
Okay, so let's us get down to the to what happened here, because we don't want to run out of time on you.
Okay, so the question is, I want to know how I can win back my wife. My wife right now is vacationally staying with our mutual friend, and I say that with a little vengeance in my tongue, Marvin. And she loves California. He's there. I don't believe that there's anything, because they both know the Lord. They both go to church. They tell me about it. My wife has not only filed for divorce without me knowing it, but she actually was granted it without my ever even knowing of it. Found out that the divorce was final like a month and a half ago.
You don't think there's anything between them and she's divorced you? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, no. I was saying that I don't think there's anything sexually. You know, between them. Now, I do know that my wife was attracted to him because we talked openly about that. And because of the fact that I'm not a jealous man, and maybe my mistake was there.
Okay, so how could we help you then? How were you hoping we could help you?
So I'm asking, guys, what can I do under these grave circumstances to be able to try to win my wife back? I mean, I've just about turned myself inside out from what I used to be.
Okay, now she has divorced you, though, right?
Right, she's divorced, and she's, I mean, they finalized the divorce, so what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to approach the court and say, you know, and on the grounds that she did it, you know, by lying and saying she didn't know where my whereabouts were when she did.
Well, I don't think that's going to...
I would fight for her.
Well, wait a second. I don't think that's going to get you anywhere. Let's hear from Mylon and from John. What do you guys think?
Wayne, why, if you could summarize in just a few words, why does she say she wants to divorce you?
Well, I think it was during the time that I went for a goodly number of years while we were involved in ministry, and of course that was free gratis. I made no money. And so because we both really got our fulfillment from that, and my wife had a good income, you know, we kind of, you know, I guess in a way without realizing it depended on her income while I was in the ministry. You know, well, not really the ministry as in full time, but, you know, we were so involved in the church and building cell groups.
So, Wayne, John asked you a real simple question. Why would your wife divorce you?
If you could answer that, not a speculation, but maybe words she's told you, that will help us help you. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think she would say that while she was working and I wasn't carrying my share of the load.
Okay,
I think that's what she would say.
That's thought number one. John?
Well, having said that, Wayne... will she allow you to have a conversation with you? Can you fly over there and have a personal meeting with her and ask if you can get back? Is that doable?
That I don't know. You know, she spent in the short time that I do talk to her on the phone. You know, she started out being divorced a month and a half, 2.5 months into the separation that she initiated.
Okay, if you flew over, if you flew from where you are to
divorce.
Yeah, if you flew to California and said I'd like to meet you and talk to you, and I'm really sad and lonely and hurting, and I want to fix whatever's broken. Would she allow you to meet with her face-to-face? These are very, very – they're what are called matters of gravity, and matters of gravity aren't handled well on phone call, if that's the only option, certainly. But a matter like this needs to be face-to-face. Would she allow that?
That, honestly, I really don't know. I would really – I think it would be a miracle. Now, like I said at the beginning, I believe in miracles. I mean, I've fasted and I've prayed for 8.5 months over this.
Hold on a second. I want to talk to you just for a sec. Are you working and are you making money now?
Yes. Well, what I did was I had to find a new profession. So I went and I just recently got my CDL license, my commercial driver license. And so I just finished that. A company had hired me, and so the answer that question is yes. Now,
so if you were sitting down with me, and I was all you had to get some help from, I would be saying that the only hope that you had with her would be to rebuild respect, and especially since she brought up the issue, you brought up the issue, you weren't carrying your load. So I would be gainfully employed. I would be doing some things that would help me to grow in character as a man. and I would be able to share those things with her when I got with her, so that she might say, well, you know, maybe I moved too quickly. Maybe he needed a chance to grow. I mean, to me, that seems like your best hope.
You know, Wayne, it just does not sound like you even knew where your wife was. You didn't know her heart. You didn't know her mind. You didn't know really anything about her. It feels to me like, you know, when people say, I believe in miracles, sometimes that means I deny reality. And I'm not sure that I really get that you knew where your wife's heart was. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you sat down with her and said, you know, when did I lose you? It could have been years ago. Mm. And when did I start losing you? I was unaware of it, and I need to know, because you know, this just didn't happen out of a vacuum. Something happened here where she took an opportunity, seized the day, and then just jumped on it like crazy.
Yeah.
I would start off with a confession, say, I guess I didn't know you for a long time. I thought we were great, but I guess we weren't.
Okay. I hope that's helpful to you.
First step.
Yep. I'm going to send you How We Love. It'll help you figure a lot out.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me, because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer March 21st through the 23rd in Columbus, Ohio. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year, and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back. And, you know, I want to say this about Wayne's call. You know, Wayne was talking about, how is it that I could get my wife back?
Right.
You know, sometimes the question has to be, first, how can I get my life back?
Hmm.
How can I become a man again that my kids can respect, that my wife can respect, that I can respect? I mean, really, sometimes that's the path that has to be taken before anything else can. And I just want to throw that in. So there.
Sure.
That's good stuff.
Let's talk to Carla, Boulder, Colorado.
Hey, Carla.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Carla, we have a new policy when we're talking with people from Colorado. Are you currently smoking marijuana?
No.
Okay. All right.
It gives new meaning to the green state, or being green.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
It's, you know,
although it's not green right now. It will be pretty soon.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I have a question about boundaries.
All right.
I'm reading the book Boundaries right now. I love it.
Gosh, I wish Henry was here to get this call. Man, that's...
Yeah.
Okay, well...
We'll limp along here.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay, well, here's what I am wondering about. I'm reading in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking about, if anyone wants to sue you, give him the shirt off your back. If anyone wants you to go a mile, go two. You know, if anyone asks you of something, don't turn away. Okay, this is what I struggle with as a Christian. I tend to have very loose boundaries and get myself in too deep with somebody who needs something, and then I end up resenting it. Mm-hmm. And so how do you reconcile that teaching with having healthy boundaries?
You reconcile it with the rest of Scripture.
Okay.
People have been forming cults for thousands of years with like a two-verse theology, Carla.
Right.
Like Judas went and hanged himself, and then you go to the next, you open your Bible up again, it says, go thou and do likewise.
Right, right.
You know? Oh, okay. But
not
good. The Bible has 30-some thousand verses. So, number one, and this is just basic scriptural theology, never, never, never take one passage and make a doctrine out of a passage when you've got 29,000 other verses to see what else is there.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So when you look at Jesus' words, he was, in the context, he was talking about people that were very legalistic and very eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, and he was saying there's another way. If all you're concerned about is getting fairness and justice, you will never experience the grace of God. He was pulling them out of the law into grace, which says sometimes you don't go after fairness. You go after love, or you go after forgiveness, or you go after generosity. He was showing them a new way to go. So far, so good?
Yes.
Okay, that's the context piece. And then what you got to look at is, what does that mean then? You know, there are people that if you give them the shirt off your back, they'll take your identity and your life and your kids and your
right.
And because you only have that one verse theology. That's when you have to go, what is the fruit of this? If the fruit of this is, you know, we're supposed to go the second mile and third mile. We get out of our comfort zone and we're generous to people and we sacrifice. But if it leads to more darkness, if it leads to a guy, you know, taking things from me, if it leads to that person being more narcissistic or more selfish or more demanding, or it takes away from my ability to take care of my family and
right.
to take care of myself, then that passage is not the only passage I need to look at. I need to look at the fruit of that and go to Proverbs 19:19, where it says, if you rescue an angry man, you've only done it, you'll do it again tomorrow. You go to Galatians 6, where it says, everybody's got to carry their own load. So look at the passage, obey the passage, and look at other passages, especially Galatians 6. And say, you know, I gave that guy $30 three times, and then he said he didn't want to work and that he wants some more money. And you go, I obeyed that passage. I've got to go to Galatians 6 and say, buddy, time to pick up your own load. So that's why we wrote the Book of Boundaries with over 300 verses in it, so people wouldn't get stuck in that one-word theology.
It seems like a lot of Christians get stuck there because I feel like I'm confronting that kind of thinking within the body of Christ a lot.
Tell you what, it's a lot better than it was 20 years ago when we wrote that book.
The
church is a lot healthier now. So imagine how it was when that book first came out. People were getting depressed. Christians were burning out. Missionaries, pastors, elders, deacons, business people, leaders, they were all burning out because they had that one verse. And that's why we said there's 200. Let's put another couple hundred in there to show you the balance.
So why do you feel guilty? Why do I feel guilty then? When you do that, you know, when you say no, okay, it's done, and then you just feel like you're a horrible Christian.
What did your mom and dad or your church say when you said no?
Oh, that's another story. But, yeah, you've let people down.
Yeah, you know? I feel bad because my boundaries were never blessed. I feel bad because my boundaries were never encouraged. I feel bad because people said I was selfish. We're not talking about Bible now. We're talking about people doing opposite what the Bible says. So you had some bad emotional relational experiences with boundaries. You're not doing anything wrong. People gave you unbiblical experiences and training.
Mm-hmm. So Carla, when did you start feeling guilty around your mom and dad?
Oh, forever.
Okay, so that's important because what you're doing is you're carrying that guilt feeling of I'm little, they're big, and I feel guilty around them, and you're carrying that into your theology. That's a feeling you felt for a long time. Okay, so we have to separate those two things and ask, why do they still have that much power over me?
Yeah.
All right.
Keep reading the book. You're doing good.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell her where the Bible says you can hit somebody after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. There's a great verse, great proverb.
Oh, Steve's verse on how to hit somebody.
18:6. Fool's mouth calls for blows.
So, whoa, baby.
So, you know, you...
Mine's getting a taekwondo out now.
Yeah, you can say, all right, now look, that was foolish what you just said. So in the name of Jesus, I hit you. Now turn the other cheek, I'm going to slap you again right on the other side there. So, anyway.
Oh, goodness.
You know, I think the most overquoted verse that I do now is Proverbs 10:10, where it says, when you wink at wrong, you cause trouble. I mean, you know, you guys are right on. You just can't let it happen. You can't let somebody walk out with your sofa and your TV and say, here, take the car too. I mean,
well, I'm going to say just a very quick comment. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what's Jesus doing? He's on a collision course with Israel to say, look, you're comfortable in your theology. You think you're in a right standing with God. You think if you just do 1, 2, 3 things about the law that you don't need a Savior. And he's trying to point them to the fact that they were all falling short. And that's why he contrasted. And he says, you've heard it said, you shall not do this, but I say to you. And he was trying to create this contrast that their efforts
yes.
were not sufficient to take them to heaven.
He was disruptive technology to their
theology. He was disruptive to their theology. Now, if we want to take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we want to say, well, then who was he writing to? It was his dialogue with the nation of Israel at a point in time in history. The church really begins in Acts, the book of Acts, and the instruction for us now moves into, it's different because the context is something in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John different. And I think we need to understand that. He was trying to raise the bar for them.
Good point. Very, very good point.
It reminds me of when Henry and I wrote Boundaries in Dating. And we wrote it to to deal with an issue of courtship. People were saying there was a courtship movement. Don't date because it leads to sexual inappropriateness and broken hearts. And we went, no, it's okay. So it kept talking about Joshua Harris, and I've never met him, but he sounds like a great guy. He said there should be a biblical view of dating, which is courtship. And so Henry and I went through the Bible, and we went, okay, here's biblical model of dating. Go attack a town and kill all the men, and then kidnap all the women and marry them. Biblical view of dating. Or go to a well and say, my camel needs water, and whoever brings the water, marry her. Biblical view of dating. You can't take these one-word little passages and make a whole life out of them.
Well, so there was a context. There was a context to your writing that book.
Yeah.
It was to somehow say something different.
It was to disrupt courtship.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
How about this one? Go to work for a guy for 7 years and marry the wrong person.
And then work 7 more years and have 2 wives. Oh, there. Yeah. Let's have polygamy. I mean,
there's 30,000 verses. Get to know your Bible.
Hey, we got Every Man's Battle coming up April the 4th. A guy writes this. He says, the most impactful moment of that weekend was hearing from the wife of a recovering addict talk about the devastation that was caused in her life just from pornography.
Was that Tina who we talked to on another show?
That was. Tina's the one that did that.
That's arresting.
Yeah. And so I don't think guys realize that the impact on a woman, it's as if he had had an affair, a real live affair. And I didn't mean you go out and have the real live affair, but anyway, let's go back to the calls. Karen, Corona, California, KKLA, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Doing Hi, all Karen. Right. How could we help you today?
I just have a bit of a question regarding my husband. We've been married for 2 years. We've been together for a total of 3.5. And we've got a blended family.
Okay.
I came in with my 2 children, and he came in with his 3. And we've gone through several custody issues with his children and ended up having joint custody of them. And I don't know, my husband has just become, and he wasn't like this initially, but he has become so angry and just mean to everyone in the house. Everyone's walking around on eggshells. I feel like he sometimes doesn't want to deal with my children.
Kind of not the guy that you married and fell in love with.
Right. He is totally not the guy I married and fell in love with.
Now, real quick question. And is all this brought about because of a custody suit with his wife that kind of triggered all this anger?
I don't think that it was brought about because of that. I think that a lot of that maybe triggered what was already in there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's become very verbally abusive to me.
Okay.
He does it in front of the children as well as behind closed doors.
All right. So what's the question for us?
He won't go to counselors. I don't know. I mean, at what point, I'm a Christian woman. So, I mean, at what point do I just throw in the towel? I can't walk around on eggshells here having this mean man, you know, around all of the children. You know, I'm not just concerned with my children, but with our children totally.
Karen, what have you done so far to solve this with him?
I have offered pastoral counseling. He will not go. I have offered to go to counseling with him. He will not go. I've gone through counseling, but he will not.
And when you say how do you phrase the problem, and what does he say? Because sometimes a husband or a wife will say, "Well, there is no problem." Sometimes they'll say, "Well, it's just a state," or maybe you're making a bigger deal of it. What is his response when you phrase the problem?
When I phrase the problem to him, his response is, I'm not going to pay for someone to talk to me. I don't believe in counseling. I don't want anyone to know what's going on in my business. It's my business, you know, kind of thing.
Does he deny that he's mean?
Right.
He says,
and then he gets upset with me.
So he doesn't. So he's like in denial that he's not loving and gentle and kind with you and your kids.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I am so sorry you are in that kind of relationship. That is tough.
Your husband is overwhelmed. He sounds overwhelmed. He sounds stressed. You put you put 5 kids into a new family, and the family isn't blending. it's staying non-homogenized. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of tension. And so we often, when we marry people and fall in love, we meet them and fall in love, and people aren't in stress. So we see the unstressed person when we fall in love and make the commitments and say, I do. So I think part of what I would do is, certainly isn't right for you to experience the verbal abuse and him getting angry at you in front of the kids and all these things, but I would sit down with him, and at a time where he feels a bit receptive, just ask him, you know, this is a lot more stressful than we thought it was going to be. How are you holding up? And really try to empathize and find out. I mean, you can throw in the towel, but the other way to throw in the towel is to throw in the towel in a positive way and say, how are you feeling about all this? This is really hard. Harder than we thought. So tell me what you're feeling today. And then empathize with his feelings. This is pretty overwhelming for us all. What do you think we could do to help us get the strength to be able to cope with all this stress and pressure?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I believe that it is a stressful situation for him, you know, and I know it is. And he's, you know, he talks about finances a lot, and he's threatened divorce several times.
Well, he's scared.
Level with this. Like, has he said to you, I hate being married to you, and I don't want this anymore?
He said to me, I hate being married. Marriage is not for me, and I don't believe in it. And I don't care about vows that I took. That's
okay.
What he said.
All right. So that helps us understand a lot.
So then the answer is, you're so stressed, this is so hard, this is so miserable, it's so desperate, you want to leave this marriage, you want to get out of here. And you validate his viewpoint, and then really, if he says, I'm done, that's a different discussion than the toxic rage and tension and anxiety building up inside of him, and then him having to vent all over you. You can begin to dialogue and say, okay, well, what should we do about this? What do you want to do about it?
Has he already said he wants to go ahead and move toward divorce?
He said it several times. I mean, he threatens it. He's told the kids the last time that he's moving out, and they've got, you know, they're all afraid and scared and crying, and because we love each other, the children. I don't know what else to do. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know that he seems to have developed such a low opinion of women lately. Mm-hmm. And I know that probably has a lot to do with his mother, because he's got this whole battle going on with his mom.
Who has any influence over this man's life?
I don't know that anybody does, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't know his dad. So I don't know that anyone does.
Gosh. All right, we're going to talk about this at the break, and we're going to try to give you some help right after this. And I'm really glad that you called, and I'm so sorry for what you're going through. And I'm hoping that maybe some man is listening and saying, boy, it sounds like me, and I don't want to be that way. And that you might decide, I'm not going to be that way anymore. Make some changes. We'll take this break and come right back. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, a father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems, and where to get help, and how to get help, and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest
particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and we have been talking about this situation. And, you know, Myla, maybe you could be the one to share what we think are the options here that are available.
Well, I think John really stated it well at the break, so I'm going to pass off to John here.
Okay, John, Mylan has punted to you.
No, I passed. I passed it. I didn't punt. It was a handoff.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all partners here.
We are.
Mylan, Karen, I hope you're still with us. Are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, here's a little path for you. Mylan said very well, sometimes it helps to draw somebody out like that. Like Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, Solomon says, a person's heart are deep waters, and a person of understanding draws them out. So even if he's being hurtful, to draw him out and say, let's talk about all these stressors, because you have so many stressors. Now, that's going to lead you to a decision path. One way, your husband goes, you get it. Thanks, honey. I am overwhelmed. Sorry I've been so mean. And let's go get help, and everything's good, because then you've got the body and a good counselor and a good preacher and all that good stuff. So you draw him out, and if he softens up and says yes, great. If you draw him out and he's still mean, then you have to put a limit on that. And the limit is, I've got to go to a support group and go to a good therapist or a good pastor who understands these matters. And it may be, sometimes you have to do this, that if he's hurting you and the kids and he's screaming and yelling about divorce, then maybe he has to move out for a while and experience the loss of your warmth and the family structure and the good things you bring. And that often is it's kind of a wake-up call for a guy when he's threatened and stomping around about divorce and she finally says, okay, get an apartment and we can talk about this. I'm not divorcing you, but it's so toxic here. And that often helps a guy to repent and change. And gosh, I miss her and the warmth and the kids and all that. So those are the two paths. Start with the attunement that Mylan said.
That is just about all there. I'll give you the 7-minute marriage solution. I hope that that's going to help you. I think it will. It's got some things to do and not do. We've got time for one more phone call. It's a short one. And let's talk with Morgan. Morgan, thanks for holding on there. Philadelphia, WFIL. Wish we had more time, but how could we help you?
Okay, so love you guys very
Thank
much.
You.
And
love
I wrote this
too.
All out so that I don't ramble.
Okay, well, we won't let you.
I recently discovered that my dad is in the beginning stages of an affair.
Oh, sorry. Mm.
And I need to know what to do, because I'm really conflicted about confronting him or not.
How do you know he's in the initial phases of this affair?
About a year ago, I stepped in to help with their finances. My mom is bipolar. She's severely depressed, 30 years in recovery of alcoholism.
Okay.
But she's mentally and emotionally in a childlike state right now. She's
and so you found out through all of that? Yeah. That's how you found it?
So been helping them with their finances. He gave me access to his email so that I could start setting things up on auto pay so things could be easier. And
What about this?
Yeah.
You go to him and you say, Dad, when you set me up and when you gave me access to all this, you knew that I had access to these things, and now I'm aware of what's going on, and of course I'm deeply hurt, and I'm hurt for Mom. Could we just talk about this? Why not start there? He's the one that gave you access that led, you weren't snooping around, you know, it,
no,
it led to that knowledge that is,
it's
so just
a, it's a very direct approach. I like his approach, Morgan. How's that sound?
I think it sounds good. I'm just
you have some feelings about this. What are the feelings?
I understand why. My mom is very difficult to love, and he's been in, you know, it's in a loveless marriage for years.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what? That's what you talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're not excusing, but you can have a dialogue because, and you can even start by saying, Dad, I know you've been in this loveless relationship forever, but is this, you know, you could even add, is this really the way to fix it or solve it or resolve, you know, but you're talking to him. And what I like about what you just did is you haven't made him all bad because of it, you see.
No, I can't.
And so that helps you to connect with him in a little better way. So
yeah, Morgan, Jesus said that if you knock a demon out of a house and you don't fill it with the right things, seven more come back. And
right.
And it'll be helpful to tell your dad there are non-sexual, non-romantic, non-erotic ways to meet these needs of a marriage that your mom, that your wife doesn't have anything to offer, and to give him those. Like people all the time, when they have a very, very difficult, dysfunctional person, they basically up the time they're spending with healthy, loving people that they're not having affairs with. That's what the body of Christ is about.
Yeah.
So direct him to some answers before he falls off the cliff and ruins his life.
Okay.
Right.
I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I hope that that will be a blessing to you. I really am glad that you called.
Okay.
Now, everybody, especially you folks here in the WQME area where I broadcast, Every Man's Battle's coming up August 4th, 5th, and 6th. Tim said, after feeling reluctant to go there, I was so glad I did. I feel confident. I've got tools. I go into battle, I win, and I've got a band of brothers that help me in all areas. That's what we want for you, and if you want that for you, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and join us for Every Man's Battle. It's April 4th, 5th, and 6th in Indianapolis. Now, I want to mention to you that we do have this brand new project. It's called the New Life Channel. You can look at a sample of it. You can join it for free for a month at tv.newlife.com. And what it is a place where we're giving you resources that we really don't have time or a way to do on this program. There's teaching one day. There's Bible study another day. There's life recovery another day. It's called Counseling 101. Another day, it's relationships, and then another day we focus on in the news and what applies to our lives that are in the news. All of us are involved.
You could call it New Life Extra.
You certainly could.
Yeah,
but it's not like the radio program where we're just broadcasting our radio program and the main thing's the radio program. This thing, the main thing, is the TV. And I tell you something. We've done these programs. We've prepared some already, and they're pretty powerful. I mean, they're very powerful. They're more powerful than we ever dreamed. And we hope and pray that you will go to tv.newlife.com and be part of that, and it really will change things. Now,
in a way, it's what people have been asking for a long time, Steve, a deeper look at the content issues, really going into depth and watching our relationships with each other. So it's sort of a request that got met in a new way.
It is that is so true. Well said. But we really want you to be there and be part of it. And you know, I think once you join and you get your free month, I think you'll stick with it because it's just, you know, a lot of people that are not Christians have seen this and they just can't believe. Oh, so that is what Christianity is about. That's what relationship is about. So I think you're going to be blessed by it greatly. I hope you will. I hope you'll check it out. Anyway, we love you. We care about you. We sure do need your support. If you have the ability to support us, do it. One of the greatest ways you can is to pay for a scholarship for somebody to go to one of the workshops because, man, are they powerful. But pray for us. Help us in any way you can. And thank you, Mylon. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for all of you who do listen and watch and pray. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.